Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. This is Jeremy hosting today's conversation, my interview with Brett Allman. We've got Brett on the podcast once again. Brett, how are you feeling today?
I'm good.
Well, I'm glad that you're good. And again, listeners will know we've had you on a few times recently, actually. And so they certainly should go back to our last conversation where we were talking about what we should know as youth workers around this changing media and technology landscape. And I really appreciated your insights there. And then grateful we get a chance to dive into this conversation. So we're just going to jump right in. And if people want to do a deep dive into who you are and your ministry, they can listen to that last episode or they can check out your website. We'll link that in the show notes. But you've been thinking about media and faith and technology and how they all intersect, how our worldviews matter for so many years. I really wanted you to kind of talk through for us youth workers what we should be considering when we think about the teenagers that are in our care and the way that they experience or interact with their technology. What should our hopes or dreams be for them in that regard? What should our goals be for them? And we were talking a little bit offline just so that people understand the context. I'm like, I don't know, Brett, like, do you think the dream is like teenagers only have an hour of screen time a day? Like, is that the goal we want for teenagers in our ministry? Is it that they have to go for a walk? And then you ask like a walk in the metaverse or a walk in like the real world? And it's like, that's a good question. And the reason why this is valuable is I think for us as youth workers, I mean, our interactions with them are so short, but oftentimes it can be that we're frustrated at the way that they engage with media. They're on their phones. We're like, get off your phone. Why are kids always on their phones? We're trying to talk to them. And so just give us some big picture ideas maybe about what we should dream and hope for our kids as it relates to how they interact with media. Is that a big enough question?
Yeah. You give me 10 minutes and I'll go through that.
Yeah, go for it.
It's funny, I'm writing down some notes. People hear some scraping of the marker. The first thing I'm a big reader, and I would encourage everyone who's listening to go get a book by Dan Heath called Upstream.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a great book.
It is. There are game-changing books in my life. That's one. Atomic Habits is another. Like, these are... And I mean, someone would say, what about the Bible? Of course, the Bible. We're not negating or taking that away. Upstream begins with the discussion. Now, I've seen memes that it's been written by Desmond Tutu and other ones. I don't know, but it's kind of this idea of a guy's from a village and he's down by the water and he sees, and it's very morose, a baby floating down the water. So he rushes in and grabs the baby. And then there's another baby and he goes and he grabs the baby. And the next day he brings some other fellow villagers and there's a bunch of babies and he's grabbing them. And one of the stories I heard, and I don't know if this was an upstream, the version of this was the third day, he doesn't go in to get a baby. He starts trudging off upstream and someone says, where are you going? He says, I'm trying to figure out who's throwing babies in the water and I'm going to punch him in the face. But the idea is how do we get upstream, like before the house is on fire, how do we make sure it's not on fire? So with technology, before we have a grade 12 who struggles with face-to-face contact, does not have emotional intelligence, you know, emotional IQ, is addicted maybe to technologies, whether it be video games, phones, or something like pornography or others. And for anyone who, we can debate compulsion versus addiction, they're both bad. There's a bit of root issues to it. But I like that idea of upstream, right? How do we, and this is where we as youth workers, we may have to go and partner with our children's pastors and the parents at looking at, like, wouldn't it be much better if you had a grade? So let's say you're a high school youth worker, you have grade 9 kid come in and the kids comes in with their phone in their hand and they can't look you in the eye. Like, wouldn't it be better if they came in with some skills already in that? So like, if we only have this 4-year window, how do we create a process that kids are understanding? Because the goal is we want them to be resilient kids. And if you read books like The Coddling of the American Mind, we're not creating resilient kids. We are creating uber, and I say uber now, let's say taxi fragile, very fragile kids. So how do we not create fragile kids? We want kids to have purpose and integrity and compassion, you know, to be, you know, strong in their faith. We want all of these things But to do that, we're going to have to go back and look at how we do things. So one of the examples you gave was like, I think, do you say hour screen time a day? Was that one of the choices?
Yeah. I mean, is it the goal? I don't know.
It is one of the biggest questions I get through COVID from parents. When should my kid get a phone? And two, how much time per day? And then they say on phones, and then they say tech. Now, let me go to that first one, because the first one plays into the second one. Like, when should our kids get a phone? You want to go through that one? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
So it's the never-ending question. I get probably 5 emails a week, and when I'm traveling and speaking, when should my kid get a phone? So in my creation for my new talk, I put that – I use a thing called Mind Manager. So the middle, when should my kids get a phone? So a father said to me once, I don't care about all the nuance around it. Just give me an age. And I'm like, but the nuance is everything. Like – so I believe in the wait to 8 campaign. I think grade 8's a good time. But here's the truth. When they say get a phone, what do you mean by that? Because I guarantee you, your kid has had your old iPhone 7, 8. You know what I mean? Like, they've had an old tech. They have a tablet. They're on a Chromebook through school. So do you mean it like so they can make phone calls, which no one makes these days? And then the dad would kind of go, oh. And then I'm like, well, and who's buying the phone? Are they buying it or are you buying it? And then comes questions. Are they mature enough for this or are they not? Like, there's so much nuance to this conversation beyond when can I get a phone? Mm-hmm. And that then works into the conversations of how much time you spend per day. Like, are you including school? Because, yeah, our kids are on a lot right now. But I don't consider school time, like, it's screen time. Like, we're on screen time right now. Mm-hmm. No one would say, oh, Jared Brett, you guys are spending too much time on your screens. It's negatively affecting you. Like, it's our work. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so you're saying outside of school. And then the question is, well, what are they doing? I mean, going back to what we talked about the other time, like, you know, even things like metaverse and NFTs, are they creating online? Are they using GarageBand and they recording music? Are they creating YouTube videos and technology? Are they could be playing video games. They could be recording themselves playing a game and posting it online. And so there's different ways we use technology. One is kind of passive scrolling through TikTok, and one is making a TikTok channel of something that you're really into.
Yeah. So maybe if I can help clarify it, and this is the right call, because I think as youth workers, it's good for us to realize, oh, this is a nuanced conversation, and parents to realize like, oh, I guess this is a nuanced conversation. It can't be just as black and white as, you know, the phone is rotting your brain out. Can I come at it and say like, what are some of the things we don't want our students to experience when it comes to technology or anti-goals, you know what I mean? Like, what are the things we want them to avoid when it comes to their experience with technology? And does our faith speak to this in any way, shape, or form? Or are we just thinking about, like, how we want to raise, you know, healthy teenagers? Or is there a point where you could actually say, Brett, hey, as those that are following Jesus, like, Christ invites us to maybe, let's say, not be mastered by anything. And, like, the way that some people experience their tech is, like, oh, they're obviously mastered by it. I don't know. If you can weigh in on that.
I agree. And I mean, we're called to community.
Mm.
And I think the problem that I see today is tech. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends on social media. And when I say friends, most of them, I don't know who they are. So like, that's not friends. Right. You and I being online together isn't the same as you and I going out for a Starbucks and having a chat for a few hours. And so I think one of the big conversations that we're losing for kids is the idea of community. So there's a faith conversation. We're called to real community. But if every time you are together, and I know we're on a podcast, like I'm holding up my phone, like if my phone is in between me and you, that's not a good thing. But here's the truth. How do our kids learn about this when we as parents are just as bad as our kids? Mm-hmm. And so the template modeling that we give our kids has to change. And so I've made some simple rules in my life. Like if my son or my wife or my daughter, now my daughter's away at school and my son should be going back to school. But and I say that kind of quickly, my kids are both university kids who are home because of COVID who are heading back. But if they come in, my new rule is I don't keep looking at the computer and kind of go, hey, what do you want? If I'm on my phone, I actually put it down. It's this new thing of full attention. Mm-hmm. If I'm with you, I'm giving you full attention. So I'm right now recording this. Mm-hmm. I have all my notifications off. I have my iPad and my iPhone face down. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. My Apple Watch is not tapping me. Like, I like tech, but full attention to what you are doing and what you're with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest things, because we're not getting real community. We can come out to youth group and sit on our phones all night. But then, again, here's another nuance. Some of your kids are on their phones because it's hangout time and they have great social anxiety, and the phone gives them a bit of a buffer. Mm. And so, again, like, every conversation's nuanced. And how do we help in this?
I've heard you tell a story before about talking with a dad who's so frustrated his son was playing video games when he just wanted him to watch. And you should actually tell the story, because he was watching the baseball game. The dad was like spending 3 hours watching the baseball game. How did that go again? Because that was, I think, a helpful one.
So a father calls me and says, my son played 4 hours of Fortnite last night. I think this was a story. He said, I grounded him. And I took a big breath. Like, was it the weekend? How's your kid doing in school? And I said, what did you do yesterday? And he said, I watched the Jays, Toronto Blue Jays game. And I almost, like, you know when people just tee you off? Like, it's just like they put that ball down, the golf ball. And I said, the Yankees game, the Toronto Yankees game. Because, yes, I said, the one that went to, and if I'm correct, it went to 17 innings. And at that moment, he got it. Like, Jerry, he looks at me, and you could just see his face. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, the 4.5 hours. And he goes, yeah, I get it. How dare you ground your kid for watching playing Fortnite, when your kid actually was doing hand-eye coordination, probably on his headset, working with some friends. Now, it's not perfect community, but it still is some community. I still think you need to balance that with being face-to-face while you sat on your butt and watched TV. Mm. And this is how we model for our kids. Like, if we as parents just have our TVs on all the time, how are you mad that your kid has his, you know, is just, you know, in the background is just Netflix shows like The Office, which is so funny that students still watch The Office, but mm-hmm. they do. But it's just on the background. So modeling is paramount in this. But here's the big thing with modeling too. It's teaching kids why we shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And this is the big thing I say in my parenting talks, right? It's, we need to be teaching, not telling. Mm-hmm. And so video games, for an example. Video games, I like gaming. I'm a gamer. I enjoy playing video games. My son enjoys playing video games, but video games are entertainment. They're what I do after I've done. And we've talked in another thing about, like, the rocks analogy, putting the big rocks first. But there's my ADHD. I lost my whole train of thought. What am I saying right now?
Well, you were talking big rocks, and that you obviously are a gamer, but that it depends a little bit maybe on how you use that particular medium. And if I can, actually just jump in here, because I'm jumping at the bit for to highlight this thing you said, talking about the need for community as something that, as Christians, that we're called to be able to draw into community. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that when we think about our technology, the goals we have for students aren't necessarily related to the specific technologies that we're using, but into terms of how we're actually leveraging or using them. And so when it can draw us together in community, that could be actually really helpful. And where it could be isolating us, that's going to be unhelpful. And as Christians, we want to call people away from that isolation. It makes me think, actually, now this is dangerous in some ways, but so I've heard Tristan Harris and you know, the Social Dilemma guys, I know you've seen that. Fascinating conversations. So, you know, listeners, if you haven't seen that Social Dilemma, you should check it out. But I think they were the ones talking about how TikTok, it, you know, was the race to the bottom of the brainstem for students in terms of a social platform. So on TikTok, you can get likes faster, you get followers faster, and views faster. And so they're trying to find ways to work out algorithms so that it could actually drive engagement sky high. And TikTok is the answer. At, you know, at time of recording, it's bigger. It's the biggest website in the world most days, beating out Google, I think, at this point. Is that right, Brett?
It's going back and forth, which is like, that's staggering to grasp how big TikTok, which used to be Musical.ly, as a side note.
Yes.
That another generation would understand.
Yeah, that is, that's that. I forgot about that. So, what,
and
he was,
I actually just stepped onto TikTok. I had two videos on TikTok.
We're going to link your TikTok. That's amazing. Yeah, because it's, and I remember Gary Vee in the early days, he was saying like, hey, TikTok isn't just what you think it is. It's whatever the users make of it. And so what Tristana Harris was saying, I think it was him, but that in, you know, North America, it is often for students this race to the bottom of the brainstem, this draw you in and force you to watch, not force you, but through their algorithm, make you watch hours of video that are mindless. Whereas in a place like China, who has tight control over their internet, they turn it off like at 10 p.m. They limit the amount of hours that you can use on it. And then when you actually use it, the content that's prioritized in the algorithm is like scientists creating things or like doing fun crafts at home or experiencing something interesting outside. Like it's all of these things that you might consider as positive outcomes that you would want to emphasize for students. Now, I'm not advocating for the CCP or I'm not a, you know, championing their cause, but at the same time, recognizing the way that that technology is being used there is, and the way it affects their students is dramatically different than the way that it affects ours. And so is there a way, and I think this is where, so maybe I've just talked for 3 minutes trying to get to the point where I could say, is this what I'm hearing? Cause this is how I'm interpreting it is the way we actually leverage our technology, if it actually brings us into community, that could actually be really exciting and positive.
Well, even through COVID, technology has been a game changer. Like we've been able to meet, like we've done conferences online, church has been online. My concern is that we have almost made it so easy that no one has to go back anymore. I've never spoken about COVID. I don't talk about COVID. It is, but I just, community is important. Face-to-face community is important. And so we need that in our youth groups. You can't just Zoom forever. Like we need face-to-face. And this actually is what I started to say and lost my train of thought a minute ago. The face-to-face contact is what guys are losing with video games. Now, someone would say, well, women play video games. Of course they do. But there's some interesting studies. They talk about how when women finish playing video games, they go and have a coffee with friends and they go face to face. Guys, from statistics, play video games whatever moment they can to whatever moment they have to stop. And they don't. And this is what we're losing out on. We're losing out on, like you kind of joked about going for a walk. I think that was in this one. But that's really true. We are not healthy as a culture. I mean, you want to get back to biblical conversation. How much, like your body is the temple, like running the good race. There's physical analogies throughout the Bible. Like playing 10 hours of Fortnite is not good. Right. Like if you haven't done your devotions and haven't had face-to-face contact and haven't been working on your school so you can have choice for what you want to do in your future, if you haven't exercised, if you haven't been outside and gotten sun, like if you haven't done all those things, and this is where I would disagree with China forcing people to get certain things. I'd go back to the teaching. How do we teach our kids? And so I mentioned to you this, we were offline, like my daughter, one of the things she's done is when she studies, so she's in her second year at Western's University, depending where you're from. She actually turns off all notifications and throws her phone on a couch or a chair somewhere nearby. And I'll often come in, like it would be on the floor, but the goal is that it's not near her. So she's freed from a buzz or like, oh, someone said something. And I like that. And one thing I've heard recently, which I really liked, and I'm actually going to incorporate this into my new talk, is I heard a few university kids, and over, like we've been chatting about this, and what they decided was on their own volition, like they chose this. Every Sunday night, they delete TikTok and a few of the Instagram and a few things off their phone. All week, they do schoolwork, and on Friday at dinner time, they reinstall them. And I'm like, see, again, they've said school is what really matters. No, none of our students will ever be 25 and say, oh, I watched so many TikTok videos when I was in. Like, it's irrelevant. Playing 10 hours of Fortnite will not get you to where you want to be. So how do we encourage people? You know, what do you want to be? How will you get there? And then how do we reverse engineer what you need to do to actually get there?
Okay, I like that. Is there a spiritual component to addiction that we seem to find around some of these things? So when you think about video games or social media or the likes or whatever that, that we're chasing, would you spiritualize it at any point, Brett?
If people know me, I tend to under-spiritualize because I think so much in life has been over-spiritualized. Like when I talk about parenting, the majority of parenting talks and parenting books from the Christian world all talk about one aspect, spiritual parenting, which is one pie. It is the big, like it's the foundation, if you want to even say that. But like we still need to teach our kids about tech and you know, sex and pornography and media and like all of these kind of conversations. So I kind of tend to under-spiritualize it. Like when you think of like Facebook and Instagram came out, you know, that, you know, their algorithms, they kind of have shown are affecting kids, especially young women. When you have companies that their entire goal is to try to figure out how to get more dopamine hits to your brain so you can spend more time on their apps. Like when you talk about TikTok going down to the base of the brain, social media is getting less and less social. Mm. Like social media, take out MySpace a lifetime ago, go to Facebook, which has been around a long time. Like long bits of text people can post with images and a link. And then it kind of switched to Instagram, which is a picture. Now we're on TikTok. I don't engage at all. I flip my finger up and it's just quick content. Like, I don't know if youth workers would see this, but I notice this even in my own children's lives. They don't even want watch full movies anymore because they're used to short. That's why I think The Office is big for young kids still. It's only 22 minutes or whatever. Mm. But it's quick content, and the algorithm then I have on mybradalmond.com, I have a link talking about, it's a YouTube video on the TikTok algorithm. And it's fascinating because it really sends you down these, you know, caverns of what you're listening or what you're watching. So I'm talking to a father, one of my live in-person dates. And the dad said to me, well, I'm on TikTok and all it keeps showing me is, you know, girls scantily clad. And I said, once in a while or a lot? He goes, oh, a lot. And I said, dude, it's because that's what you're watching. He had no idea. Like, so if he pauses even, the algorithm grasps that it paused and he'll send him more. But you picture this with our kids, right? So you pause. Look, what isn't it truly, it's a mirror. TikTok is such a true mirror of, if this is what you're getting the most part, this is what your heart desires. This is what you're looking at.
I pulled this up and I forget why it connects, but the longer movies. It reminded me of a story. We both know Carrie Newhoff, a wonderful pastor in Ontario and leadership podcaster. And I told this story, I think, again, maybe I'm wrong. I think it was him that he got, I don't know, drank too much root beer one night and like ordered Little House on the Prairie box set and was trying to watch the Little House on the Prairie and realizing this TV show from a number of years ago is dramatically different than anything that we watch today. It's so slow. And like, if you've ever done that, to watch a TV show from the 60s or from the 70s and realize like, wow, like the things that people were engaged by are just, again, dramatically different. And The Office is an interesting example of even that has, if you go back and watch it now, it's speedy, but it's not as speedy as maybe some of the newer shows that are coming out that, man, they're just clipping along. And even that you can watch Netflix. I saw this the other day. You can actually speed up the TV shows that you watch on Netflix. And the same way that you might speed up a podcast, speed up a TV show, which feels odd. And yet, there we are. That's the place.
See, I disagree. Someone asked me that at one of my mental talks. What do you think about Xing, like making podcasts quicker? And I said, I 100% disagree with it. I said, there's something about being part of the conversation. That's not like, blah, 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 you know, when people are speaking really quickly. Like,
yeah.
I did it a few times and I actually made, like, I'm out for my, like, I call them mindful walks. So I do a podcast for half and then I just, you know, AirPods off and I just walk and listen. I'm actually anxious listening to a podcast. Oh, is it efficient? Yes. But how is that helping me? Right? Like it's just pounding down content at an extraordinary rate. Whereas there's something about, like, in a conversation like this, the pauses and the silences. Like that's, so I don't think it's helping us watching a movie.
I don't think the movie, but I will say I go half and half on the podcast front. So if it's one that I'm consuming for just the content of it, I will go for the speed and increase it a little bit. But I will also agree with you that I was doing that like all the time for, you know, for a while, and realizing that, oh, I need to just go back to regular speed and listen to an honest conversation as I'm driving. And it was life-giving again. So I go back and forth on that. So if you're listening to us talk on double speed,
four speed,
yeah, just know. And it depends. Some people talk really slow. Some people are easier to go a little fast. Anyways, that's fine. Okay. As we're coming to a close here, Brett, I want to kind of highlight a couple of things that I think have been said. So we're thinking about how, as youth workers, we're thinking about students and the goals that we might think about around their interactions with technology. And I like how you've maybe helped clarify that, that what we're called to as Christians is this idea of community. And, you know, we've touched even just briefly on this idea that we're not meant to be mastered by anything. And so the tools that we use in our world, like technology, should be in service to those things that we're called to do. And where they're not, we may need to help students understand and to point that out and to help guide them, although mandating it may not be helpful, but actually guide them into the right healthy spots. Now, this is a part of a much larger conversation you're going to have as a part of the work you do is communicating. You do talks for churches, youth ministries, parents, and people can access you through the website. We'll link that in the show notes. But you're available by Zoom, but you're also available by person. And you've got this big talk on media that you'll be you've been doing for years, but I know you're updating it, which I know people will want to access. So do you just want to highlight a little bit of what more that entails, where people can find you, and any last words you have for us today?
For sure. One thing, for youth workers, I put out a 9-part video series on how to have a better relationship with your phone, which I think is really practical advice on how we move out. Like, you don't just say, well, okay, I'm on my phone 300 times a day. I'm going to only hold it like twice. Like notifications and touch is actually one of the first things. Like we touch our phone 2,500 times a day. Like, for most of us, it's always, in our hands. It's always around. How do we do it less? And if we're going to say how much less, I really love the book Atomic Habits. Mm. It talks about 1%. I think 5%. So like I said to 1,000 students once, how many of you could watch 5% less TikTok this week? Every hand went up. I'm like, okay, let's start with that. Like, it's not like we have to get off TikTok, but it's let's maybe have it less. How many times do you open your phone a day? And they say it's between 75 and 150 or something. Well, maybe every time, if you're watching cable, there's a commercial, or every time, you know, you quickly finish a podcast, maybe you don't just open up your phone right away to social media. Like, how can you do it a little bit less? One of them talks about work and education. Like, for every 45-minute assignment we have, if we have our phones propped up or whatever against a computer, every time you get a notification, if that's how you're doing your work or your school, it'll take you about 3 to 4 hours to do a 45-minute assignment. Mm. These are things that our kids go, oh, I can change that. Like, you're not saying bad media. You're saying, let's not be mastered by it. How do we use it for our advantage and the best we can? So there's 9 videos on that. But the book Atomic Habits is a book I challenged my kids to read. As a parent, I actually paid them $20 to read it. It's one of those books that's that important. But the 5% analogy is one that will help our kids and us as adults as we look at moving forward with this. But you can find that on my YouTube, on my brettallman.com, all my social medias at the top. And this is another thing I challenge almost at the end of every talk is follow authors, pastors, thought leaders. Like you mentioned, Carrie Newhoff, like follow anyone that you hear. And when you go to their website, we're all the same. At the top or bottom, it's like, you know, TikTok and LinkedIn and Twitter. Follow everything. Because what I want is I want social media to be filled with content that's life-giving to my faith, my family. It's teaching for me with work. Like, you know, I want to be better in the conversations I'm having. And so I want it to be more than dinner and dogs. Now, I have an English bulldog, so I love English bulldog pictures. But I want social media to be filled not just with pictures of someone's having a burger at A&W. Like, I want it to be filled with, here's the new Carrie Newhoff podcast. Here's the new Canadian Youth Worker, the youth worker. Like, this is the kind of stuff, a conversation on things that matter to me.
Yeah.
And so the more we all do that, the more I think good content will come to us. And you can find all my stuff at the top of my website. And my website is more of a, I have about 1,200, 1,300 blogs, articles. Many of them are just, here's a great podcast. Check out this book or things like that.
Absolutely. We hope people will engage with you there and bring you in as well. Brett, appreciate your time today and looking forward to the new release of, do you have the name for this talk, this next one?
I brought out parenting navigating everything, and then I brought out men navigating everything. And I actually like the idea of navigating everything because it shows it's a big nuanced conversation. So currently it's media navigating everything. And the byline currently is it's a talk of tensions because there's these tensions we're going to have. So that's kind of the idea right now. We'll see where it goes.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for your time today. And for all you listening, appreciate the work that you're doing. You really are making an eternal difference in the work you're doing with students. And we can't wait to see you next time here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.